You're listening to the North Peace Roundtable Podcast, your weekly podcast about theology and the Christian life. See the pause there?
Don't sound so excited when you say that.
I should just pre-record something because everyone's like, welcome. You're listening to the, I don't know what we're doing here. Our fan is going to be offended.
That's true.
You see that? I did. Singular.
Singular. I caught that. I was picking up what you're putting down.
Episode 139.
You checked again.
I did. Episode 139.
That's growth.
Thanks
as
for
a person.
Tuning in. My name is Andrew. With me, as always, is Cameron.
Good morning, everyone.
And Corland.
Hello, hello.
Yeah, let's bring up the enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah. Man. Hello, woo! Hello. Woo!
I was doing flooring last night, so I'm tired.
Oh, well.
In our bedroom. Master bedroom. Now all the floors in our house match besides bathrooms.
Nice.
So anyways, how are you doing, Corland?
I'm doing well. I was watching Sketchy Activity last night. We have some fun stuff happening around our house. So Aaron and I have said the last like couple of weeks, it's been tough to know whether you want to like watch a movie or just look out the window. Cause like it's entertaining either way, right? Like what do you want to do? But yeah, we're good.
Cameron?
It's been a good week. It's been a very full week, but the kids are wrapping up school today.
Yeah, right.
Sports are wrapping up this week, and so pretty exciting. It's my mother-in-law's birthday tomorrow, so we got some stuff planned for her.
Nice.
Yeah, looking really forward to summer and trying to slow down a little bit and try to be outside a lot. So I really love when like just spend the evening in the backyard and
oh man,
poke around and cut grass and do all those things. So
we're so old, middle aged.
Oh, I love it. Oh, I love it.
I'm just gonna go put her around my yard for a bit.
I literally do.
I know. I do too.
We had a fire a couple days ago, and we were just sitting around, and I was sitting there. I was like, you know, it'd be really nice to just start weed whacking. So I did, and I thought to myself later, I was like,
it's
what
old man
what
syndrome.
A dad move.
Like, oh, man, that is a stellar dad move. For
like my
sure.
kids and Aaron were out there, and I was just like, "Yeah, hun, like, wait, check this thing out."
I am totally embracing it. I'm 40 this year, so
you are.
Yep. So planting grass and where there's patches, and I find myself going out with my coffee cup in the morning, in my sweats and a t-shirt so and sandals, funny. Checking on my grass.
Yes.
Right. I caught myself too. Like I saw a bike tread over one corner of the yard. I'm like, "Kids, I'm
like, get off my lawn!" Totally.
I don't think I'm like at the pylon point yet.
I created a song for, this is totally not the topic. We'll get to the topic in a minute because I also had three or four grass patches that I would water in the morning. So I created a song for my kids. I'm watering my dirt and it doesn't hurt to do your chores so early in the morning. But if you touch my dirt, I'm going to make you hurt because I gave you a fair warning.
That's really
and
good.
I can sometimes like hear Lucy up in her room. I'm watering my dirt, and so I'm like, good, because I'd be like, don't touch the dirt.
That's, right.
That's biblical to make songs so you remember things, right?
Anyways, this is not the. We should start a lawn care podcast.
Lawn dad podcast.
It's a lawn dad. There we go.
Yeah, jean shorts and New Balance shoes.
The transformation.
Instead of daddy daycare, it's daddy lawn care.
Oh my gosh. Okay, we have two good topics, and we'll see how long Corlin can stay before he has to go to work. But topic number one is kids in the church service. It's summertime. I'll tell you where this question came from. It's summertime now, and usually every summer, we give our kids' zone teachers a break because they've been teaching the kids. Because a little bit of background, our kids in this up to grade six are downstairs the whole time, whole hour and 15, 20 minutes.
They essentially have like their own church service.
Yeah, they do
there.
Some singing down there. Emily, our children's director, does some teaching, and then they break off into their like classrooms and. So our kids zone teachers do that for, 9 months. And then usually for most of June and July and August, the kids are just in the service with us. And so you can tell in the summer months, it's a little bit louder. Babies cry. It's anyways, it just leads to the conversation of like, should we just kind of be okay with that? The distractions, is kids church good, bad? Should kids just learn from a young age how to sit still and church. I mean, yeah. This is a huge topic with many, many opinions, but I mean, so I'll just be blunt at the beginning. There's nothing in the New Testament that tells us what to do.
There's no verse that's like, and when you send your child to Sunday school.
Yeah. And so I think that there's varying opinions, and some would say, well, in the early church, there was no such thing as Sunday school. Yep, sure, that's fine. There was no youth groups in the early church. There was no...
Yeah.
And children were like dogs. Like, so they were not valued. We see that in scripture. Get away from the Lord. Don't bother the Lord. So yes. There's actually some...
So I think there's lots in the New Testament about church structure that's helpful. Elders, deacons, this is how you do stuff, blah, blah, blah. But as far as kids in the service, that kind of boils down to conviction and what you think is good or bad or mm-hmm. whatever. So even in our church, we have people that don't send their kids to Kids Zone. Nope, my kids are going to sit with me in the service. Mm-hmm. And then we have people that don't come to church when there's no Kids Zone because I can't stand having my kid in the service. I think that's maybe a little bit too extreme. Like,
yeah. Sure.
But there's just differences of opinion. But I don't know, like, just...
And we have three opinions here of people with all relatively younger kids. Ours are...
Sure.
Andrew and I, or mine, I guess, are the oldest because you still have a five-year-old. Well, five-year-old.
Yeah, five-year-old.
That's
yeah.
wild.
And Carlin, you are in the baby and toddler yeah. category.
Yeah. Still there, yep, for a bit.
But it's interesting because I have both understood and struggled with that. I mean, I tell my kids before church, you know, and there's times where we have stayed home when they're like sick and they're like coughing.
Sure.
Out of like not even a COVID fear or anything related to that, but just almost out of common courtesy is the way we thought about it.
Also, it kind of sucks to be somewhere if you're actually sick.
It really does. And then to have the expectation that you are like somewhat quiet, but there have been like, I sit in an area of the church generally where there's a lot of young families, and some families will be straight up sick, like just coughing and, or just runny nose the entire time. And my wife is immunocompromised, and we have to be quite mindful of that. And that's a little bit of a challenging. It's a pretty big distraction. But I can completely empathize with families where children are restless and they're doing their best. But I do struggle with, you know, you mentioned babies. Like, babies wouldn't normally be in Kids Zone.
No.
And there are a lot of parents who are very attentive to their children. But there's some parents who are not. And I would never be one to say anything. I have, you know, my thoughts often go to like, oh, I feel bad for those parents. Like, they're probably having to juggle, you know, should I leave? Should I go? Should I
yep.
do something? But I see folks, and I've witnessed myself, folks that look distracted. They look maybe even frustrated.
Sure.
And at the fact that they're not able to concentrate or to focus. And so I think there's a unique tension that is not necessarily bad, but it's okay to maybe recognize. And I'm not sure how to even...
I always laugh whenever I've made the decision to like take one of my children out of the service because I feel that they're being distracting or whatever. I'm come to that decision, or Aaron does. I always laugh at your text when you're like, control your child. Like, I always laugh at those. I'm like,
or I'll say it from the front.
Yeah. Yeah.
Corlin, get a hold of your children.
Yeah. I always laugh at those.
I would never do that to someone that I don't know. Cause
yeah.
I think I like, texted once, like, get that sinner out of here or yeah. something like that. But that is something, of course.
So, Corlin, you have the youngest
yeah.
kids.
Yeah.
I
do.
And probably like once a Sunday, you like have to walk one of them out.
Yep.
Where's Gemma going?
So,
like, she looks pretty happy to get up and start walking out.
Gemma loves the nursery. Oh. That's probably honestly the biggest struggle is that she knows the nurseries here.
Oh, yeah.
So, as soon as we get to church, that's the fight then, is because when she was young, we didn't think that she cried all that much, but we didn't realize how often one of us ended up in the nursery with her. So it's become something that she knows, right? So there's... Oh,
she's controlled you with her behavior.
Yeah. She's got us wrapped around her finger. We're trying now to bridge that gap by saying, Gemma, you either sit in the service with us and you need to behave, and not in like a like iron fist kind of way, but trying to help her learn how to be respectful to other people who are trying to listen or trying to worship.
Yep.
And if not, then the nursery isn't where we're going. If we leave, it's not to go to the nursery. It's to go somewhere else. So we, our family, we want our kids to go to Kids Zone. Aaron and I would love for Sundays to be a time where we get to invest in our relationship with God and even spend time together doing that. But Gemma often doesn't want to go yet.
She's three?
She's just about three.
Right.
She's going to be turning three this winter.
Yep.
Right. Oh, 2.5 right now, yeah.
Yeah. So it's funny because when she first got turned two, which is when you can first start going to our church's programs where they have stuff for two-year-olds who can go play with Play-Doh, right. Listen to a Bible story, right? Yep. Like those kinds of things. We're like, sweet, this is going to be perfect. Kendren's well-behaved. We'll just keep him in the service and we'll get to have like a little bit more focus time. I think that lasted two Sundays, and now she cries if we want to bring her down there, even if her cousins are there.
She doesn't like the children's director, right?
I think so. Yeah. For those who don't know, the children's director is her grandma. She does love her grandma.
I'm just kidding.
See, I personally think 2.5 is too young to expect them to sit in the service and to have any sort. Like,
yep.
I get it because there are those, and I spoke to those who are like, children need to be under the authority of the word and with the lead pastor. And I'm like, okay. Yeah, that's right. Andrew's shaking his head.
Andrew's like, amen.
His own kids have the most toys in the row.
I think that, like, our family, we're not necessarily sitting there trying to be like, Gemma, listen sure, to what yes. he's saying. It's more like a, like, the nursery is, it's for little kids, right? You're bridging that gap now. Obviously, she doesn't understand all the nuances of that, but it's yep. like, hey, you're too mm-hmm. old for the nursery. You're too big for the nursery. So it's either Kids Zone or you're here, right? Yeah. And that's okay. So we bring stuff for her to do in the aisle. We have little, there's a like coloring book that she brings. We yep. often bring a couple of toys.
Yep.
And then we just try to make sure that she knows to be quiet, right? Yep. If she's not at that age where sitting and listening to a sermon is something, like you said, she's not going to come back home and, you know,
yeah.
revel at
what was Andrew's 3 points.
Yeah.
Well, you exactly. know, we're probably, I don't know. Like our daughter, she's going to turn 11 in a month. Yeah, next month wow. she'll be 11. And this is the first summer where she doesn't bring stuff to church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last summer, that transition.
Yeah, personally. Last summer she'd like bring a book. You know, a few years ago it's like coloring and stuff, and our little guy will still bring, he's 8. He'll still bring a book. But I don't know, like we never really talked about it. Like we've always told him, like, you're not going to mess around. Like, you know, that would be, in our house, that would be a consequence if you were like, just disruptive, right? Because mm-hmm. you know, and that was a couple, maybe 3 years ago. Like, so I think Sasha was 5. It's like, when can we go home? It's like, that's inappropriate. Like, you're old enough to know. Like, you're in kindergarten, man. That is just willful disobedience.
Yep. But
I don't know. I think if you're in church and it's really impacting, I think grace is the first filter to which you should look through. But
yep.
maybe some of these young parents, like, they could benefit from maybe some of the older folks in the church offering to hold their kid or yep, like, you know,
totally.
I see Don and Joy, they have their grandkids in the service and often they're the ones, you know,
yep.
holding it. So their adult children can actually have, like you yep. mentioned, that little reprieve to be like, maybe I can hear a service. Right.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
So I think that's a bit of a family model, which is, I think, what would have happened in scripture, because we talk about these house churches. I mean, kids were probably running around. They probably weren't sat down. Okay, now we're, you know, Steven's coming over tonight, so kids, you're gonna sit down and be quiet. Like they're you know, I'm only guessing, they're just running around the you know,
being kids,
right? Yep. We kind of like idolize everyone in scripture, and we even go down to the kid, they must have all sat there with their legs crossed and, you know, like quietly absorbing the word. And it's like, yep. well, probably not.
Yeah, I think like my view is that Kid Zone is great because I think sometimes we expect kids to learn at like an adult level, which is just unrealistic. Like
yeah.
to teach the gospel at a kid's level, and your mom does an amazing job at that, like using illustrations and object lessons that, oh, and all of a sudden it like clicks that we probably, I'm not going to do a science experiment on Sunday morning.
Lame.
Yeah, but just go to Mike Todd's church if he's the guy. He does all sorts of clownery is what I would call it. But anyways, like, so I think it's okay to be like, man, let's teach kids at an appropriate level where they actually can like understand.
Yeah.
And that's why Kids Zone is so great. But I also think it's important to take opportunities to teach kids, like, this is what it means to like sit through a service. And Because then at grade 7, when they're no longer able to go to Kids Zone, we're not going to lose all of them where they go, oh, this is so boring, and I don't know how to, for an hour, be with the broader church family. Mm-hmm. And I think, too, there's ways that parents can help. One, I think to parents with young kids to just, like, tell them, like, this is a season where, you know what, you might not get as much out of church as you normally would.
Yeah.
And it's just part of being a parent. Like, I think there's like, sometimes we have this expectation where it's like, I'm going to have young kids, but I'm still going to go to church and they're not going to disrupt me at all. It's like, this is not reality. Like, that's yeah. just the reality of it. You know what? You may have to leave the sermon to like console your crying child. That's okay.
Yeah.
That's just a part of life. But I've even, like for us, our kids are 10 and 9 and 5. But like we ask them to stand during the singing.
Yep.
Like you're not going to, even Oliver, but I don't know how to read the words. That's okay. And for our girls who know how to read, we're like, try and sing along or at least follow along with the words that we're singing. And for a while, it was just kind of like, especially Lucy was like, oh, I hate, my legs are so tired. I hate standing while we sing. But now it's just this expectation like, no, yep. you're not going to play with the toys that you brought. While we sing,
until
we want you to try and sing along. And you actually sing some of the same songs down in Kids Zone. Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Keep an eye out for that. And then, yeah, they'll bring, you know, a little notebook and or a coloring. And I think Oliver yeah. brought some of his dinosaur toys to play with. And that's fine. I've heard other parents, actually a few weeks ago, I was sitting in the front and I heard the parent behind me. And I think their kid was 6, 7
Yeah.
And they gave them the notebook and said, okay, I want you to count. How many times does Pastor Andrew say Jesus? How many times does he say Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
And like gave them this thing. So then yeah. it's like,
they have to listen.
The kid is listening. Oh, he said Jesus. Add the tally up. And at the end of the service, how many times did he say Jesus? 17. Oh, good yeah. job. And I'm like, I just thought that's so cool.
Sure. Yeah.
Cause now it's like you've given them a task to do. And maybe now, will they know the 3 points of the sermon? Maybe not.
Yeah.
But at least they're like quietly trying to listen for certain key words. I'm like, yeah. that's cool. Well, that's a great idea.
Well, even if you watch children's play, oftentimes it's task oriented, right?
Totally.
So like even Gemma, she's learning how to play without like just smashing stuff, right? And she, I mean, she's a little bit past that stage, but she's starting to like the other day, her task that she was playing was she had to take the water from her water table, bring it to the cup, and then she'd pour it into the cup and totally. Then go to the same spot on the water table and just over and over and over. Once all her cups were full, she had to dump them out, right? So like to give your children tasks that they can do. I mean, obviously a 2-year-old in a sermon, you can't be like, now write out every time. Cause like she like makes a scribble and she's like, it's a house. And yeah. it's like, it's not, but like.
Yeah. And I think even with maybe slightly older kids, you could, but it just takes work as a parent to be like, okay, did you hear anything in the sermon? Like,
yep.
Because even my kids, they'll be like, I remember when you said that. Or usually it's an illustration
yep.
that I'll use. Kids seem to connect more with like, you know, the story about when Pastor Andrew crashed his car or whatever, yep. right? Like, so my kids will even remember details like that. But as a parent to try and, I mean, it takes work to be intentional, to be yep. like, okay, did you guys hear anything in the sermon? Like,
yeah.
And they might go like, no, okay, that's okay. Like,
yeah.
So I think like when you said to view it through the eyes of grace is huge. So one, for maybe people in the service that don't have kids, to show a certain measure of grace for the baby that fusses and whatever, yeah. because it is, it's just a part of life. And then on the flip side, a parent whose child is screaming, to show grace by not being like, it's fine, I'll just sit here. My child screaming's not bothering anyone. It's like, no, but it is.
Yeah.
Right. So, and not to be offended by like, you know, yeah. to leave.
And I think
is appropriate to be like, you know what? I'm just going to show grace to everyone around me. I'm just going to try and console yeah. my child.
And I would argue too, that in those scenarios, there's still nuance to whether or not you choose to leave. Right. And Aaron and I, oftentimes our threshold is noise. Like if the kids are moving, whatever, if they're happy yeah. and moving, We usually try to sit in a row that isn't quite as busy so the kids have space that they can move yep. and they're not bumping into people and stuff. The people that we sit around, generally speaking, know our family and they love the kids. So then if they do see
it's
the kids moving...
Heard.
No?
Oh, no, I'm just kidding.
We're actually here because of Jeff.
Yeah, actually.
But for us, noise is that threshold, right? Like, if they start being noisy, like with Gemma, we try to, you know, encourage to be quiet. But if she doesn't continue to be, then out of respect for other people, yep. we choose to. But we had an interesting scenario because one of the families that we know that sits close to us who doesn't mind if our kids make a bit of noise, and we, I would say, generally speaking, our kids are relatively quiet.
Sure.
And they brought a family who had never been to church, and they had a young boy who was just restless the whole time, right? Probably never sat that long in his life other than for a movie, which, fair enough, right? If you've never been to church. And Aaron and I just thought to ourselves, we're like, I can't imagine what that would take on that family to go to a place where there are going to be people that are like, I can't believe they don't control their child. Don't they know? It's like they've never even been to church.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. They might know, but like, if it's supposed to be this friendly, accepting environment, like, where are those boundaries? You yes. don't know. Do you turn around? Do you say, hey, control your child? Like, Aaron yeah. and I, we just thought, what a wonderful opportunity, right?
Yeah.
And hopefully we pray that the people around them would be understanding, like you said, approach it with grace yeah. so that they don't feel like, well, I can't really go because I have a kid and yeah. and like, I don't know anyone there, so I can't send them to Kid Zone because I don't trust anyone yet, right? Like,
yeah. I think, like, I mean, that's one of the reasons we pump the audio into the coffee room, into the youth room, yep. into the foyer, into the nursery.
Yep.
Because all of a sudden it's like, yeah, my 2-year-old wants to just like run back and forth. Man, have at it in the coffee room.
Yep.
And turn up the little knob and you can hear the sermon as best as you can. Like,
yep.
Yeah, I always struggle with, like you said, it's such a balance. Like, yep. It makes me laugh that, you know, our family Sundays. So because we have our kids out of the service for most of the year, occasionally we'll do like a family Sunday. Everyone's up, potluck yep. afterwards.
Yep.
And those are way less attended than regular Sundays.
Yeah.
So it makes me sad a little bit when I get it because I was a parent of young kids. I should actually say my wife gets it because I'm always preaching on Sundays. So, but she got it. Like, it can suck sometimes when it's like,
yeah.
Why did I come? Why did I come to church?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think to like realize that they, and I read an article like years ago. I can't remember who wrote it, but basically was like encouraging parents, even when you're like, I'm getting nothing out of it, still come to church yeah. because what you're doing, even for your kids, even though they're not getting anything out of it, but you're creating like this pattern and this expectation in them that like Sunday we go to church. Yeah. And it's important to us.
Yeah.
And so it makes me sad when it's like, oh, it's a family Sunday and there's no kids and I'm not going to church this week.
Yeah.
Cause then I think what you're maybe subtly teaching your kids is like a consumeristic mindset.
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing for church for us this week, so let's just not go. And I'm like, ah, come bring your kids lots of coloring. And I get it that
and
they kids, might not get anything out of it, but
kids
just
are a blessing from the Lord. So
totally.
To learn how to navigate those things as parents, I think is a good thing, right?
Totally. So there we go. We solved it. Keep your kids quiet, okay? So
we usually refer or use NyQuil.
DayQuil. Man, your kids yeah. really drowsy at church.
They're just really soothed by the word of the Lord.
But I think, yeah, above all, like, we just show grace to each other. And I remember even Molly a few weeks ago was just like, did you get distracted preaching with all of the baby noise? And I'm like, no, I've gotten pretty used to it. Yeah. But she really struggled. She was just like, so I'm like, okay, yeah. At some point, if you have a child that's just being like so loud and distracting, maybe out of grace for other people, go to the nursery. That's okay.
Yeah.
So anyways.
Yeah, I think one other thing I'd like to say, maybe we won't get into the other topic as much as we thought this week. It's something that I've heard talked about, and maybe where I'm not the most qualified to talk about it, but something I just wanted to mention with the nursery is I think sometimes there is a tension with going there where it's like, well, then the kids are loud in there and I don't get anything and stuff.
Yep.
I've heard people talk like that about the nursery, and I get it. On a Sunday when you're wanting to engage or say the sermon is something that is engaging to you, and you're learning from it, it is tough to make those sacrifices to go into the nursery. But I would say, like, to the best of our ability, that nursery is supposed to be a place where parents who have kids who are being loud can go and still have fellowship with other parents.
Yeah.
And I think for Aaron and I, that's how we've tried to view it. Maybe that's not how you view it, and that's up to you, I guess. But It's a cool opportunity when you think about it, that if you've had a really hard week where your kid is just loud and annoying, then when you go to the nursery, if there's other kids and other parents who have had a similar week, there might be a place for you there where, sure, maybe your Sunday listening to the sermon isn't going to be what you thought it was, but maybe you can find fellowship with those other parents who have had that kind of week too, and totally. Encourage each other to love your children and to show them God's love through your actions to them. And I would argue that that's every bit as much church as sitting and listening to a sermon, right?
And you can go re-listen to the sermon that night at home after the kids are in bed.
Yep.
I mean,
hey, that's true.
Yep.
You don't even need to come to church at all. Just listen to this live stream.
Not what I'm saying.
I'm just kidding.
But no. Church is like part of the reason we gather together is fellowship, right? Yeah. It's not meant to just be that we put it like church could be that we just all sit down in a pew, put in headphones and listen to a pre-recorded sermon by Andrew and stare at an empty stage. It's not though.
That's what his dad's church does.
Yeah.
When he's visiting up here.
Yeah. That's
talking to your dad.
Hey, like, Andrew's preaching in Souk as well. I'm right. Like, what? They just play my sermons when he's gone. I'm like, awesome. Do I get money for that? Exactly. Or like royalties or something?
Yeah. But yeah, it's an opportunity, yeah. Right? Like I think we often look at hardships or we look at things that distract from what we have as an ideal as like, oh, I can't believe this is happening. Yeah. But if we actually believe that God works all things together for his good, then we should be looking at that as an opportunity to say, hey, like, how can I encourage a mother or father to love their children well in this stage of life? How can maybe there is a Sunday where the volume can be up in the nursery and you're listening to the sermon and encourage each other with what you're hearing there, right? Like,
and can I say too, this seems like a, this might make people mad, but this seems like a like Western, very spoiled problem to have where other Christians in the world are like, I hope I don't get shot for going to church. And we're like, that baby's too loud. Like, in the grand scheme of like the whole worldwide church, I get it because this is just the part of the world that we live in. So it's just stuff that we wrestle with. But part of me is just kind of like, you know, there's no kids on this week. I'm mad. It's like other people are like meeting in caves in the world trying not to die.
It's, so 40, it's 42 above in this cave.
I wonder if their kids are quiet in the cave.
The thing is the parents probably feel that conviction to be there with their child because the Western church has also said you're all going to sit in the row and listen.
Yeah, that's true.
From the youngest to the oldest, you'll sit, you'll quiet, you'll focus to the pastor because that's the word of the Lord, which is all fine and true. Except that we're probably the only church in the globe, the Western church, that has this model of church where everyone sits quietly in the pew with their Sunday best on. It's quite pretentious and it is quite privileged. So
I think
the filter of grace in all circumstances, I think is.
I think that's what it boils down to.
Yeah.
Okay. How much time do you have, Corlin, before you have to leave?
I can probably make it down in like 5 minutes. Jerry, if you're listening, I'm sorry if I'm late.
So you have 5 minutes?
I got a 15-ish.
Oh, well, let's 10-ish. Talk about it. Okay, so there we go. Complaints can be sent to CameronEggie@hotmail.com.
.net,
yeah. But we did say before, like, we want to talk about this topic without unnecessarily offending people. Because I know that when it comes to, like, the topic of our kids and how we raise them, and parents get... I don't know, bent out of shape easily about like, you told me to be quiet with my kid and how dare you? Yeah. And it's just kind of like, no. I mean, that happened at, you know, Creekside. David tried to talk to someone about, you know, maybe sit near the nursery because your kid, and they just like lost their minds. And so we don't want to do that. So if your kids are loud in the service, we're not trying to be
not
going
to pull a David.
No. We can... It's called pulling a Creekside.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just joking. So anyways, coming at it from like, I think you saying through the lens of grace is super helpful. Anyways, second topic is Christian dating. I Kiss Dating Goodbye. Have we all read that book around this table?
I technically did too when I got married.
But the question came in about like, you know, should Christians... date, have boyfriends, girlfriends at a young age,
or at any time, right?
Or like if you're not, like what's the purpose of it? Is it, does Christian dating look different than how the world does things? It's kind of a very broad topic.
It is. It's a lot to cover in 10-ish minutes, but
Yeah, but let's try. So what do we think? Again, Christian dating, not in the New Testament. We're never
not
given
in the Old Testament either.
Yeah, because we live in a vastly different culture.
That's always a fun one to break it to the youth. I remember the one year we sat down and we're like, all right, we're going to talk about love, dating, relationships, sex, that kind of stuff. How does that fit into the Bible? And one of the first things I said was, so dating is nowhere in the Bible. And you could just see on some of the kids' faces, they're like, what? Like,
yeah.
What, how do you like
arranged
what do you do?
Marriages?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that, yeah, like our culture is vastly different than what we see in the New Testament.
Well, yeah, one, and there's no such thing as teenagers and young adults in the Bible, in the ancient world.
Yeah.
You're a child and then you become an adult.
Well, even in like pre-Christian, pre-Jesus, Jewish men became men at 13.
Yes,
you had your bar mitzvah.
Totally.
And that's when you were a man. I mean, I don't know exactly what that all entailed, but like,
yeah,
there was no like, hey, you're a child, now you're a preteen, now you're a teen, no, now you're a young adult, now you're an adult. It was
I
just,
there
you
was
are
a lot
child,
more,
you are
yeah,
a man.
And there was a lot more expectations and responsibility for,
yep,
like, oh, by the way, now you're going to like help run the family farm, or you're going to apprentice me as a carpenter, and you're 30,
yep,
you're a man now, so now you work. So vastly different culturally.
Yes.
Which doesn't necessarily mean that everything about the way we do things is wrong.
Yeah.
It's just different, right? So for me, my view, and again, this is one of those topics, we might have three different views and people listening might have different views. My view of dating is you date someone for the purpose of getting married. The whole idea of like just casually dating and going doing this and that throughout high school and or before that, I'm like, one, I think that's just like, it can be dangerous because you're just putting yourself in scenarios where the temptation to go farther than you want physically is just more prevalent. And I think, too, like the purpose I see of like, I'm going to spend a significant amount of time with one individual, right? This girl, and we're going to date. I'm like, the end goal in my mind should be because I want to marry this person one day. And I'm,
yeah,
seeing if there's compatibility or whatever, right? If,
yeah,
we're actually going to be good together. So,
yeah.
I mean, I dated a few girls before Molly, and that was the intention of like, I'm seeing if this person is a potential,
yeah,
wife. And they weren't. By God's grace, thank you. Saving me from those girls, until I found Molly, right?
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. Do you guys disagree? Like, I'm all for, and you mentioned like group dates before. I think it's good for both young men and young women to learn how to interact with the opposite sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't think it's like, no, I'm not allowed. But I'm like, you know, if my daughter Lucy came at 15 and was like, hey, I want to go and be a girlfriend to this boy and go on dates with him, I personally would go, why? Why don't you go with a group of friends of men,
right,
girls and boys and go have fun together?
Yeah.
For me, I'm like at 15 years old, hopefully you're nowhere near close to getting married. I'm speaking about my own daughter. I'm like, please don't. But like for the purpose of you, I'm going to go have a boyfriend now for, let's say you get married at 20 for 5 years. I'm like, maybe, but maybe just like have friends.
Yeah. I have a funny story. I met Tatiana when we were both 24, I think. And we had a lot of mutual friends. And so we would go to these kind of group things. And then I had a friend who was a female. And it was funny because I was in the States. And I went down to the States with this person who was a good friend. And that night, Tatiana and I were having like our first date. And I was such a dumb man, young man, that I'm like excited. I'm telling this to my friend only to realize later that she was hoping
she was,
that this would become something. And so dumb. And I realized afterwards, like a couple years after, I'm like, oh, that wasn't fair to her. But at no point did I allude to that being the case. But I am also, yeah, kind of grew up with that idea that you would date for the purpose of marriage. But I remember being so young and not realizing or knowing or seeing a good model of what that is. And I know I've had a couple of friends whose parents have really guided them into a model that, you know, dating young for the purpose of marriage, but then in this case it didn't work out for the couple. But the guy told me, like, and he's from back home, he's like, it's a lot of pressure because it's not, you don't only tell the person that it's not going well, but now our parents are such good friends.
Yep.
And like, I ruined everything. And he said, just because it wasn't for me after a while. And mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, that's a really interesting perspective, because is that a lot of pressure for him? If in fact a feeling changed after
yep.
a couple of years, and like you said, by God's grace, it wasn't meant to be, but
sure.
the weight of now, oh, I'm breaking up with her and her dad and her mom and my dad and my mom. Or do you push those feelings down because you don't want to disrupt this new situation, right? And I just think there's so much pressure for young people. And so I'm in the camp of, like, I'll encourage my kids to go out with a group of friends, you know what I mean? And I'm our daughter already, you know, so-and-so has a crush on this one. And he said before, you know, this guy's really funny, and she's 11, and we don't want to be like, you're never allowed to have those thoughts, because I would love for her to be 24 also when she meets her husband. But I don't want to, like, make it weird, awkward. I want to encourage good relationships and friendships, and then be very mm-hmm. open to, like, oh, I think this guy's very interesting, you know, okay, well, let's figure it out. But I also want to give her an opportunity to say, like, I don't think it's good. I don't want to, like, create a environment where she might be fearful to come to my wife and I and say,
yep.
I don't want to be there anymore, because maybe we've become so supportive. And I don't know if that makes any sense, but just as I was thinking of our daughter getting older, that's where my mind was going.
Yeah. I think Christian dating is an interesting topic, because it is an end result. It could end in something amazing, which is a marriage covenant between husband and wife before God, before the church.
Sure.
But it's also in some ways playing with fire. Like, if you're going to date for long periods of time, like you said, the relationships that you build during that time, that if you're unwise with how you handle them, it can cause damage, right? Yeah. And that's hard to navigate. So we encourage, like, when we talk to the youth about this, we talk quite practically about it. Like, hey, like, you're unable to drive, so if you're going to go on a date, who's taking you? Mm-hmm. Like, you want to go on a date by yourself with somebody, but you can't get there. Like, that's just practically hard. Okay, cool. You're going on this date. Who's paying for it? Do you have a job that you can pay for it?
Right.
Okay, cool. Awesome. You do. Awesome. You want to get married. Okay, fair enough. Can you legally get married in BC? No, not until X amount of time. Or if your parents both are okay with it, right? Yeah. Like we just try to, like, lay out practical things. So to say, like, hey, like, you're at an age where those kinds of emotions and those feelings are actually incredibly natural to start feeling towards someone. And God has given us those emotions and feelings. So it's not that you're, like, to desire to be with someone in marriage is not wrong. It's actually a really beautiful gift that God has given us.
Yeah.
But to exercise some self-control and to sit back and say, okay, hold on. Like, why do I want this? Is there, like, can I even do this? Right. Am I working within the means that God has given me?
Yeah.
So we speak really practically about it. I think the big thing for me, I mean, there's stories where childhood sweethearts work out, right? Where where you start dating at 15, and I know a couple of couples in the church where that worked out. And that, praise God, right? But there's also a lot that don't. So if you're a parent of children who are doing that, and the parents that I know, I'm not necessarily speaking to you, because I've had conversations with you about where you guys are coming from with some of these things. But if you are a parent and your child is dating at 15, I would encourage you to be engaged in that, but also to act arguably, as from what I can see. And I mean, I don't have teenagers yet, so maybe I'm speaking out of my pay grade.
Sure.
But to walk through that as a guide, right? Being somebody that your kids can come and mm-hmm. talk to and say, hey, mom, dad, I'm not comfortable here anymore. And to not blow up and freak out. Cause like I have a guy friend who was dating someone and they broke up, and he had two different camps. One camp was telling him, well, no, you're dating her, so you have to stay together now. It's like, but you're not actually married, right? Mm-hmm. Like you haven't made a covenant, so you actually are not required to do that. And then you had other people that were like, oh yeah, you like just break up, do whatever, like who cares about that? And it's like, well, no, like there's sensitivity around the subject too, because it's relational. So
it's hard, right? Because you're like, yeah, you can't legally get married, but you can physically produce a child at 13. So that's like a
yeah.
terrible season, not terrible, but it could be a terrible season from 13 to 18, where that's like a, that's a really challenging time. Like Tatiana and I met each other at 24.
Yeah.
So we had no issue. We dated for almost a year and got married. We never sinned sexually because we were adults and we're like, we just made a choice.
Yep.
Which was a lot easier than mistakes I made at 17,
sure.
yep.
18, 19.
Yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned like it can be playing with fire. I've done premarital counseling with probably close to 30 couples now, and I would say 50 to 60% of them have
struggled sexually?
Have sinned sexually.
Right.
Yeah.
So not even struggled, straight up.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I go, it's just interesting, like, again, and we've walked through it, and they've dealt with shame and guilt, and that's great, and there's repentance and forgiveness, and that's, I'm not saying that, like, now your life is screwed forever. No.
No. No.
But just the reality of, like, we're going to date and be Christians, and we'll keep ourselves pure until we get married, and you start dating at 15, I'm like, I'm not saying it can't happen.
No.
By God's grace, great, but man, oh man, it's just, it's a lot harder than... Yeah. Like Molly and I didn't date at all in high school, and it's not because girls didn't want to date me, right?
yeah.
I was a catch.
Yeah.
But even, yeah, Molly and I started dating at 23 or whatever and got married. We dated and got married within a year.
Same with us.
Yeah. And by God's grace, we didn't sin sexually before we got married. But it was just different. It wasn't. Because at that point, I'm like, I'm not messing around.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking for a wife.
Yeah.
And I don't know if my mindset would have been the same at 15, 16.
Yeah.
I would have just been, like, overjoyed. A girl wants to hold my hand. Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is amazing. And that's fine. Yeah. And those, like you said, those feelings are normal. But I think God created us to have those feelings because they're leading somewhere.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right? And they're not meant to just be... these nebulous feelings that they're pointing us towards.
Yeah.
Right. Ultimate fulfillment with a spouse. So again, like, if you're listening and you're someone who is dating young, like, it's not to say like break up immediately, it's wrong. No, but just to just have caution and to ask yourself, like, what is the purpose of us dating? Is it just, I have a boyfriend, I have a girlfriend, yeah. or is it like, no, actually, we're looking long term.
Yep.
Yeah. Years into the future.
And I'd encourage you, have people around you who are willing to call you out on your BS.
Like, yeah,
if you're, totally. if you have people around you that can tell when you're off and something's not right, then be willing to be honest when something's not right. Right.
Yeah.
And know that God does love you, but also like bring stuff into the light if you're struggling. Yeah. Right. That's.
Yeah. My sister, when they started dating, they were older too in university, but they actually like, cause they were like, we want to date and like stay pure until if we're going to head towards marriage, they actually like wrote up a contract and then had two friends that like signed it with them.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And like very specific. And I laughed cause I'm like, what, you guys are nerds. But then I look back and I'm like,
kind of smart.
I was actually super smart. They're like, we're not going to be, I can't remember all the details. It's like, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do this. And then their accountability friends had the right to be like, hey, how are you guys doing? Are you actually committed to the...
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
So I just... And then they were adults.
Sure.
But I just went, here's a couple that's like, we want to make it to marriage. And so we're going to like take this seriously. And I'm like, hey, that's great. And they've been married 20 years now. Almost. So,
and then the only other final piece of advice is, if you're dating and you get engaged, if at all possible, don't make your engagement period as long as you were dating for.
Gosh.
Like, if you date for 3 years and then you plan to get married in 3 years, just get married. If you're getting married in 3 years, get married now.
I know. I had one couple that, it was kind of like, we're getting engaged and I think they asked me to do the wedding and we're going to get married in 2 years. And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
I'm like, why on earth? Especially if you're a Christian couple and we're going to stay pure for 2 years with your, after, and you're engaged. Are you insane? Yeah. I'm like,
and like, I've had, it's funny cause I've seen the response in the church at times is funny. Cause I know couples that were dating and married within about half a year.
Yeah.
And Christian people are like, what are they doing? It's like getting married. Like that.
Yeah.
we should be celebrating that they chose to do that. Like, that's amazing, right? Now let's walk with them, right?
Yep.
The world, even for Aaron and I, dating and married within a year, like not by much, like something like 10, 15 days or something like that, short of a year. And the amount of people that I've said, what were you thinking? Like, how could you make that call? It's like, well, like we believe that marriage is for a reason. Yep. So we got married quick, right? Like,
yep.
But I got to go.
Okay. Episode 139. Thanks for listening. This is now a dating podcast. And we should do a call-in show where couples... we kissed podcasting. Goodbye. We should create a podcast. Anyways, thanks for listening. And if you have questions for us, you can always email or send them to us. And we'll talk to you next time.